Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and once again, Truth Bomb Tony is joining me now. Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital. We're calling this the Mad Punters Edition, aren't we, Tony? The Mad Punters Edition, because the market has suddenly put a little bit of light under it, and there's a lot of excitement around uranium and some other stocks that are going on. So, first of all, how are you doing? Has it got really busy for you again?
Not yet. I actually had a fan of the show come in and see me today, and he actually said that I look better in person. So there you go. That was a nice compliment. And he said here how he loves how I put the terminology. And I think the key is to be not sit on the fence, just be straight up and tell it how it is, explain the risks, explain how people are invariably going to stuff up in a market that's certainly heating up.
That's why we call you Truth Bomb Tony. Well, I reckon what we need to start with is uranium. It's on everybody's lips. So we remember the last uranium boom, but I don't know what you're feeling, but to me it feels a little bit different. It feels like it's got a little bit of, I guess, if you like to say, weight under it this time. And I'll tell you why I'm thinking this way. I'm thinking because we are in this carbon emissions, zero carbon environment, and that's what uranium is. That's what as an energy source. And I just think maybe there's a little bit further to go. What's your take on all this chatter and all of these stocks that are suddenly got a fire lit under them?
Well, I think, look, I discuss the sector as being one of the great contrarian plays. Mm-hmm. I put two stocks out to clients, which is now Elevate and Bannerman. So Bannerman essentially is 10 bagged from the lows, and the old Elevate has increased about ninefold. But when sectors are very sleepy, they're going sideways, there's not much talk about it, it's actually hard to get people to buy at the lows in a sector that isn't flying. And I've had quite a number of clients who have made a bucket load of money on EL8, but generally I would have liked to have had more clients set. So now, you know how it is. You go to a wedding or a Melbourne Cup function and you end up getting a stingy, dry chicken breast, and the person next to you gets a beautifully cooked piece of Scotch fillet, and you say, look, I want to swap.
Yeah. We've all done that, haven't we?
Yeah, why are people so unkind? And what happens is I find that my solid clients start to get a little bit antsy. They want to jump on something. They're sick of their stocks going sideways. And FOMO, I think, is going to lead to some substantial losses for people. And I reiterate that when you chase something and buy it at the top and the price comes off, you look at your break-even price as the ceiling, and that capital is dead. And what we're seeing in these uranium stocks, hey, a lot of them have 10 bagged from the lows. Mm. I'm starting to get some more interest, but these are going to have some nasty corrections. And the spot price has moved up to around $44, but have market caps got ahead of themselves? Is there a lot of trading activity? And where will punters go next? So I think the key is don't procrastinate. If there's a sector that looks like a great contrarian play, I know it's not exciting, but sometimes you have to have a crack rather than chase something that's going gangbusters, but could really lead to some damage. But I think it's good to see a sector that's finally got some recognition. We've also got some madness in the EV lithium sector as well. But hey, these market caps, I think, are being thrown out, and you are going to see some nasty price activity as well. So I think, look, exciting times, but very dangerous for the less experienced.
Well, I'm going to throw something else at you here, Tony, because right now, we all know, and, you know, I've spoken about this before, governments around the world are printing the funny money like it's 24/7.
Yeah.
As a result, what we're seeing is we're seeing things like the stock market and property markets continue to drive up. It's not necessarily value, it's just the price going up because there's so much liquidity in the market. Do you see that as part of the factor, all this money printing that's just allowing the prices to get out of control as well? And they may continue the upward.
In the small caps, no. I just think it's a weight of day traders, pip traders that will buy something at 10, try and sell at 10 and a half, 11. We've also got blatant ASX pump and dump groups operating on social media. I've seen that where they're targeting a stock on a certain day, sends out a telegram, and people buy the stock up, and then it gets a query from the ASX and they don't know what the hell's going on. So I don't think it's got anything to do with liquidity whatsoever. Okay. With governments printing money, I just think that it's the trading levels that's seen rapid increases. Brokerage, you now pay bugger all to trade. And I think a lot of these stocks are just momentum driven. But if you look at the broader economy, I think this wealth effect's gonna wear off pretty quick. And there has been some disturbing articles in the AFR saying a lot of people now are drawing on their home loans, getting money for make-believe price increases to go buy depreciating assets. So I know things have gone a little bit further than what anyone could have predicted, but geez, there's some really dangerous times coming because, as we've seen, even in the small cap stocks, sentiment can change very quickly, and a lot of families, sadly, are going to be stuck in an environment where interest rates have to go up. We've got inflation and we're heading for stagflation, which for those uneducated is an inflationary recession, where I call it the economic equivalent of being sandpapered to death. So I just, you've got to accept the fact that people are willing to pay stupid prices for stuff, but the financial literacy of people to work out price to income ratios, PE ratios, if they exist, is non-existent. It's again a case of greed taking over common sense. So I just think this is all going to end badly. And the key is to go slow and steady in speculative stocks, small caps, because what I've found over 23 years of advising people, it's very hard to change your behavior once you're addicted to the rubbish stocks. And I know my clients are probably watching our stocks go sideways. They're getting bored. I even have one client ring up and say, look, I really want to go play in the crypto space. And I think, well, okay, if you're that bored, but once you start selling off your quality stocks, you get into bad habits.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's called patience. But you know what, Tony, I will say this. You know what? I agree with you. Inflation is not just coming. It's here and it's going to rear its ugly head in a bigger way as we move forward. That's just my opinion. But I don't agree with you in terms of interest rates going up. Now, I could well be wrong, but I just look at it and say, I don't think governments will allow the interest rates to go up because they know that that will be a disaster, especially here in Australia, across the property market and a whole host of other things. We know that people are mortgaged to the hilt, and we know that some of them are doing it tough, and they're spending 75 to 80% of their take-home pay just paying the mortgage, not the bills and the food on the table. So I can see that it's getting interesting, but I cannot see interest rates going up. But I do agree with you. We are in an inflationary time, and I think that's going to be where you've got to have a look at how you, I guess, position yourself. And that's what I wanted to ask you. You're talking about it being a little bit frothy, et cetera. What advice would you give to those people out there, both seasoned investors as well as those that are new? How would you position your portfolio? Would you, you know, do you do a percentage in the speculative area and then go to some of the bigger dividend paying stocks? What's your advice to people to make sure? Because I know one of the things you always say is you would hate to see people lose big time and be in a lot of trouble.
Well, that's how life goes. And you're not going to say, you're not going to have a government or the RBA say, oh, sorry, we're here to manage your speculative bubble and not manage the economy. Because, you know, it's like trying to hold down a beach ball in a pool. Eventually it's going to try and float itself back up.
Yeah.
So, you know, the RBA made the statement that they're not going to expect an interest rate increase till 2024. Mm-hmm. But the greatest tool against inflation is interest rate increases. But you've got to look at here in Perth, where real estate prices are still expensive but affordable. But how can you manage all this speculation? People have to lose. It's like those that got stuck with 18%, you know, interest rates at one point. So look, in terms of positioning portfolios, if you have a look at the major indices, I think the broader market is overpriced. It has factored in a lot of good news that, hey, we are going to come out of lockdowns. Mm-hmm. So I think what could shock people is markets can fall on good news that's already factored in. So what I say to people that come and see me, a lot of them do have significant wealth built up. I say, look, let's take a portion of your net wealth, only a small amount, and let's buy quality small caps, which will survive every bloody cycle. They will get smacked around, like some of our stocks at some point will have. But if you're serious about the big returns in the stock market, besides getting lucky on a bandwagon, you have to invest or speculate in the quality small cap stocks. And that's all I do. And we get the results eventually, but it's not going to be the adrenaline junkie hit that you get from buying a fast running piece of rubbish. So portfolio wise, hey, I'd look for yield outside the banks. There are a number of companies. I think blue chip stocks are hard for me because they're up or down and you can always see a profit warning. You can't see a profit warning coming. I'd rather look at a company where I know management, where I can, on the back of an envelope, I know I use that a bit, I can value the company. And in a way, it's educated fortune telling. And sadly, actually, you interviewed one of my favourite gold stocks, Mako Gold.
Oh, the lovely Peter Ledwidge. Peter. They know what they're doing. You know, there you go. There's good management. They've done it before. They'll probably do it again.
But they can't create any interest because the stock is slow and steady. They're looking to build a resource and suddenly sentiment will change towards that stock, like pretty much every stock, you know, a lot of these small caps on the market. It's like, I'll go back to Eagle Mountain during COVID. You could buy it at 9 cents, then suddenly it's $1.35. It just shows you that sentiment can change toward these companies. Don't chase the rubbish. Take your time. You know, people think, oh, geez, I have to hold this forever. No, you don't. Once certain milestones are met, you get new investors come in. But, you know, I just think that we are certainly, there's no precedent for the times we're in. But I think portfolio construction now is certainly getting tougher. And sometimes, as I say, often music always gets back to guitars, bass and drums, and markets eventually get back to fundamentals. And I think that's where we're going to head.
Tony, there's been a lot of IPOs in the last 6 months. Is that just because the market's a little it's out there and they're taking advantage? How do investors choose which out of all those IPOs that are out there? Because there's a lot.
Well, it's a bit of a lottery because you've got a lot of gold exploration companies obviously looking to cash in on gold. You're going to have some lithium companies. You might even have some uranium focused stocks. And what's happened is the stag profits have kind of trickled to, you know, it's just a small flow now. So you do have IPOs where they're old regurgitated assets that have been handed around from companies. It's a good time. It has been a good time for companies to raise money, get something happening. But the ASX is going to start to be a lot stricter on the conditions of listing. But it's hard to talk someone out of a gold exploration IPO when they could make a discovery or they have the right support. So I think that the market is heading into a bit of an exploration frenzy. And we saw that today with Metal Hawk. The code is Mike Hotel Kilo, for those who say I don't pronounce the codes properly. But, I mean, that stock was closed at 18.5 cents and today it hit 76.
Jeez.
So they had unbelievable. So they had 2 meters of what they reported to be massive sulfides. Then they put out an amended announcement. But that stock just went absolutely apeshit. But now we need the grade.
Yeah, so, and you know, we always know what happens when they go apeshit. Quite often, everybody piles in, everyone's getting excited, and it pulls back because it's not a constant flow of these very, very high grade hits, is it?
No, that's true. And you know, Metal Hawk was a quality IPO. It danced sideways for a while. Now everyone wants it. But we have seen in the past companies that have risen on the exploration hype haven't got the results, and the pullbacks have been quite nasty.
Yeah, vicious.
So now I think it's a market where a decent discovery is going to be rewarded, possibly with an overshoot. And there's one of a companies I assist listing, which lists tomorrow, called Copper Search. So it's a 35 cent IPO. My clients have put some money into it. I own it personally. But this is a junior that has some big elephant targets in the Gawler Craton. So this is really at the pointy end of high risk, high reward speculation. But I had this guy come in to see me today and he said, look, I want to replicate what you've done for other people. But sometimes you just got to swing hard. And, you know, some of these companies will make a discovery, others won't. But I think, you know, with this exploration excitement now, I'm still looking at the elephant hunters that have solid fundamentals underneath. And I think if you can balance out your risk reward, that's where you ultimately you'll do well, rather than chase the next bandwagon.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll do a shout out as well to Legacy Minerals. They just listed, they went on the boards, it was yesterday, well, this week anyway, and they've got copper gold in New South Wales. But these guys, even before they got on the boards, they were still drilling. They were out there, got a fantastic team of guys, and they just are there. They keep saying, we're going to show shareholder value. Now, they've got their hardened deposits, an old gold mine. You know, where do you go and look for gold? Well, where it's been found before is sometimes a good trick, like they did at, Kirkland Lake. You know, that was around for years and no one could find anything. And bingo, look at it now, one of the highest gold mines in the world. So I like Legacy. I think it's not financial advice, do your own research. But I think it's one to check out. And as you say, Tony, it's about management as well. You want to make sure that they're not lifestyle directors, but they're putting their shareholder funds in the ground, because that's where you find discoveries.
Well, it's true. I mean, I listened to your interview with Peter Ledwich from Mako. I look at the announcement Brad Veloukas puts out from Oyuman. These guys worked with Bill Beament, and they're learning how to build a real company. And admittedly, they had some great results. They ran up to 27. Now they're back under 20. But I'm thinking, look, in order to build sustainable wealth in small caps, you have to back these management teams that if they don't find it, certainly they'll acquire it. And I've seen that throughout my career, that good projects go to good people. These are the guys that can look at projects that the majors discard, and you can build a company of it from it. Because Bill Beament, as we know, bought the Paulsens deposit and he's now, you know, in the billions now, market cap wise. So, I mean,
What do you think of his, sorry to interrupt you, what do you think of Bill's new project? Have you looked at that at all? I haven't followed it very much at all, but he's over in the copper space now, isn't he?
Yeah, VentureX. It certainly went to, I think it got to about 90 off the top of my head. The assets, yeah, have been around for quite some time. Bill drives that bus, and you certainly have the Bill Beament premium. So I know it's back in the 50s now, but again, it's a case of, you know, you've got the management expertise, you've got people that have done it before. but profile can't change the geology of projects. So they're still going to have those challenges. But, you know, every bubble we have the rock stars, and this goes way back to dot-com, to uranium, to gold and silver. So, okay,
speaking of which, because we're running out of time, you talked a moment ago about the contrarian view. Right now, gold is kind of like, yeah, everyone's going, it's not really doing a lot. Do you have a view on the gold sector? I mean, you know me, I'm a gold nerd, so my view is that this is definitely a contrarian play, but I think there could be some big winners out there.
I couldn't agree more. And I look back, I mean, I was writing about the gold sector when the price was $251 US an ounce. So regardless of the gold price, you are going to have a vibrant sector. And it's true that for gold companies to grow, you need a downturn in the gold price, a downturn in sentiment, where they can go out and pick up some transformational assets at the right price. Because when everything's going well, you've got to pay high multiples, and you also have the ego factor where everyone thinks their project's worth more. So again, sometimes a bit of a downtrend where speculators panic and sell is actually your best friend. So what I try and do for clients is identify these gold companies that are going to grow in any gold price environment, and trying to forecast the gold price all the time, I think, is pretty much a fruitless exercise.
No, look for management, look for good projects. It's projects and management. Don't keep looking at the gold price, whether it's 1700 or 2400. Don't worry about it, because here in Australia, they can pull it out of the ground for 1200 US, there or thereabouts. The gold companies in Australia are doing very well. In fact, around the world, they're doing pretty well, even with the gold price where it is. So I don't think people should focus on that. Tony, we are running out of time. The last word is yours, my friend.
Oh, God, you always give me the last word.
All right, well, why don't we do it this way?
Yeah.
Tony, give me three reasons, give me three strategies that investors need to make sure they keep their eye on in this frothy, ever-changing, volatile market we find ourselves in.
Well, don't listen to tips. Ignore your Uber driver or taxi driver at some point. Sometimes you need to stop taking tips. If you could have a barbecue on the East Coast, don't take tips. Don't be afraid to sit there in quality stocks, and don't get FOMO. Don't worry about if you hear these stories about people making lots of money and you're not. They're Johnny come latelys. Stick to your guns. And I think what you really need to do is look at speculative portfolio construction, which I do all the time for clients. And that's going to take a lot of time. And just start reading, listening to these interviews, and try and follow some people, but don't follow everyone, because as we know about opinions, everyone's got one.
I love it. And as I often say to people, you know what? As Tony just said, start listening to interviews, stop watching Netflix, get yourself educated, because education is also the key. Tony, truth bomb, yep. Tony, I should say. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps this week.
And look forward to our next edition, Kerry.
Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. Stay well, my friend. See you next time.
Look forward to it.